So we're going to take another look at this aspect of emptiness in Buddhist practice, this idea of no self. It's a tricky concept, but and at first glance it sounds kind of nihilistic and perhaps a bit depressing. And it can, if we're not careful with it, bring up emotions. We can have fear arise, a feeling of sadness, sometimes anger, aversion, things like this. And actually, you know, I think anything that's worth doing isn't necessarily going to be easy, particularly if we look at changing ourselves in some way, shape or form. So sometimes we are going to have to go through a level of pain, perhaps, to get through it. And we have to remember that the Buddhist approach, the practice, is very much a process. So through the practice of meditation and the Eightfold Path, we gradually change ourselves. And one of the key areas that is important here is the perception of self. So as we practice, we begin to experience, and in a way it's because we're lifting our own delusion, our own veil, if you like. But as we practice, we start to see that there is no self, this concept. There's nothing permanent about us that pervades. And this leads us actually to a deeper connection with the world around us. When we let go of ourselves, we connect more deeply with everything else. And as we connect more deeply, so we let go of ourselves, and it becomes an ever-increasing spiral. We've also got to really remember that Buddhism, this practice, is about experience, not faith. It's very, very different in that respect. We don't believe these things just because the religion or the spiritual approach instructs us to. Instead, what we do is we set out to explore and to really find out for ourselves. And it's in this exploring that we kind of feel the teaching rather than trying to understand it on any sort of cerebral level. So when we come to this idea of exploring no self, we have to explore every single aspect of ourselves. We have to consider from the ground up what we're made of. And we could get very scientific about this. We could actually consider the atoms and the molecules that make us up. However, I don't know about you, but I find it really quite difficult to feel myself at an atomic level. I can't get in touch with those molecules, those atoms. You know, I can't experience them. Some people say they can. Personally, I can't. But fortunately, philosophy and approaches to life down the ages have given us a vehicle that we can use to help with this. And we can essentially break ourselves down from the perspective of the following elements. And they are earth, air, fire, or you can look at heat or energy, water, space, and consciousness. Those are the six elements that we're looking at. And actually, the meditation we're going to do is the six element practice. It's not often covered. The stalwart, solid meditations that we often come into contact with in Buddhist practice are the mindfulness of breathing and compassion. But six element practice, I personally have found it a very powerful practice. So we look at these six elements: earth, air, fire, water, space, and consciousness. And we look at genuine experience in ourselves. That's what we want to do. Get in touch with each of them in turn. So the vehicle we use to do that, of course, is our mind. We've got nothing else. So we explore this with our mind's ability to perceive. That's what we're hooking into. Not its ability to think, but its ability to perceive. And as we move through each of these elements, as we're going through the body, what we actually do is search for any permanent experience we can get hold of. That's what we're looking for. Because if there is an Andy Spragg, then there must be something permanent sitting there that constitutes Andy Spragg. So that's what I go looking for. And yes, I cannot emphasize enough, it's not an academic exercise. It's an exercise of experience. So if we take a look at some of these elements, some are easier to recognize the constant change than others. So if we look at the air element, for example, that's relatively simple. We can feel ourselves breathing constantly all the time. Yeah, passing in and passing out again. But it's definitely a part of our what makes us up. You know, air, take it away. I'm not going to last long. So the air is pretty key. Earth element is different. You know, actually, it's very easy to get hooked into the earth element. And I think our modern society encourages us to do that in some way, shape or form, constantly looking to deliver a level of permanence about our earth element. You know, there's plenty of beauty treatments out there that guarantee us that the effect of aging won't happen. We hold on to the earth element very much so, but the answer's staring us in the face. You know, this is not the same body I was born with. There ain't no way. Otherwise, my mother would have really had something to say on the moment of my birth. So this is a very different body to the one I was born with. Yeah. And actually, just drawing on science for a minute, we know, because the scientists tell us, we replace our complete bodies about once every 7 years. Every single cell is exchange. So we're constantly being renewed and rebuilt, not the same body, which is quite interesting. And that's it, that's what we do. We go through each of these elements and we look at them directly in our meditation, and we can't find anything that's permanent. We know that water is 3/4 of our bodies, you know. Take the water away, I'm just dust. So 3/4 of my body is water. So if anything has got a better claim to being, that's the permanent bit, that's the Andy Spragg, it's the water. But that doesn't feel right. You know? Cheers. So we discover a lack of permanency. I think it's good to meditate on, as we take these elements into us, do they become us? So as I sip my coffee here, does that then become Andy Spragg in some way, shape or form? Because if it doesn't, well, what am I? You know, because I'm taking in the breath. Does that then become Andy Spragg? And when I breathe it out, at what stage is it no longer Andy Spragg? You know, when does it pass out of me and become part of the universe again? If I'm changing my body every 7 years, it's being constantly changed all the time. And actually, if you hold up a hand and you look at it, it looks quite permanent, doesn't it? You can see definition, you can see edges. But if you close your eyes, actually your experience of the hand becomes a lot more blurry. Your perception of where you end and space begins is a lot more fragile all of a sudden. And we know that's the case because actually, as you go into the surface of the skin and look at it, you discover it's full of holes. And we are constantly exchanging air molecules, water molecules, shedding skin actually, all the time. So that boundary between us and space is very, very soft. It's not firm. So yes, it's quite a good practice to contemplate these elements and discover, you know, when they become us and when they part from us. And that helps us to get an experience of this feeling of impermanence. And it's that we focus on, because we so often focus on permanence. We look at everything and we assume it's permanent. We make an assumption. So here, I'm recommending focus on the impermanence. Have a look at it. Discover that constant fluid nature of life. So we approach this a little like we approached last week's meditation with the koan. There we had an unanswerable question, and you just go into the question and you experience what it tells you. Here we're looking at something else which is a little strange to our experience and perhaps unanswerable sometimes. The experience of self and trying to find a level of permanence about it. Look it head on. You have to approach it with total honesty again, just the same as we did with the koan. So we're not looking for deeply held beliefs here. So have a look when you, perhaps the mind fools you into thinking you've discovered an element of permanence in yourself. Have a look at that. Have a real good look and ask yourself honestly, well, hang on a minute. Am I honestly feeling that? Or is that just my belief that's kicking in, that's telling me that's the case? So we go through these six elements: earth, air, fire, water, space, and consciousness. That last one, consciousness, that's the real doozy here, because some of us may believe that that's where our permanent self sits. We have a character. Yeah, I've definitely got a character. Thank you. Actually, drawing back to Warwick's Enneagram talk, I now know I'm a number 7, which contributes to my character. And of course, my character has been built over my experiences and over time, and it feels very permanent. And even to people around me, they may see my character and think, yeah, that's Andy Sprague, that is. But actually, even that, anyone that meditates discovers just how fragile these components of our perception of permanence are. So what we can use here is memory. It's a part of our conscious mind. We can access it in our meditation and just think back perhaps to what our character was like when we were younger. Just explore a little what's changed and what's contributed. Where does consciousness reside? Well, the obvious answer to that is in our brain. Mind, brain, consciousness, often assumed to be the same thing. However, again, when we look with honesty at our own experiences, something doesn't feel quite right here. Because I'd ask you, okay, conscious experience, where do you feel your emotions? You don't feel them in here. You feel them in here. So our conscious experience of emotion is not in our brain. It's in our bodies. You know, actually, when we're very, very stressed, our bones ache. It's quite interesting. So mind is not just the head. It's the heart and it's the gut. And again, just drawing back to science a bit, modern biology tells us that our emotions actually are carried through the body by what are called neuropeptides. When we have an emotional experience, yes, that lovely organ in our brain, the amygdala, fires up and floods out these neuropeptides, and they touch literally every single cell in our body. You know, every single component of our being is touched by that emotion. That's quite incredible, isn't it? So it allows us to connect with the whole human beingness. And I said at the start that this this meditation can bring emotion. It can bring some very positive emotions as well, because you just discover this huge, wonderful, complex contraption that is far, far beyond even what you've read in the science books. You feel it, you understand it, and it's just wonderful. Not permanent, but beautifully complex. And somebody once asked me, you know, the practice of Buddhist, a key component of Buddhist practice is compassion. Well, hang on a minute. If we're practicing no self, if we practice self-compassion, is that not a bit egotistical? And is that not reinforcing the perception of no self? Of an idea of self, sorry. No, actually. Because when we practice self-compassion, what we're looking at is this wonderful, complex, fragile, impermanent thing. And if you think as a human being of all the things you love, they generally have a degree of fragility and impermanence about them. Things like a rose or you know, dewdrops on a cobweb, that sort of thing. They're very, very fragile. I find it really difficult to love a concrete block. So everything that's fragile tends to, we see great beauty and we express love. So we do that with ourselves. And even the nature of mind, often in the meditations, we've closed our eyes and we've tried to explore just the nature of mind and its size. Of course, when we do that, it goes on forever. You know, we discover our mind is vast, as big as the universe. So as Buddhists, we spend a great deal of time studying the nature of mind and consciousness. We look at individual thoughts and how they pass through the mind and notice how those kick off these wonderful complex processes right through the body. Just a simple trigger of a thought fires up memories, fires up emotions, but again we discover they're all impermanent. You know, even memories fade. You try to hold on to a memory as it passes through the mind. Try and do that. Try and capture a picture in your mind. See how long you can hold it there. And it just evaporates like gossamer. So where are we? Nowhere. Where? What are we? Nothing. But this can't be right, surely. Intuitively, it doesn't seem right. It seems nihilistic. But it is our honest experience. It's what we discover. We can't find anything permanent. From a Buddhist perspective, this is a very good starting point for our practice. Start with that empty cup. You must have heard the old Zen story of the master pouring tea for his student, and he keeps pouring and he keeps pouring, and the tea cup overflows, and the student says, "Master, Master, the tea." And the master explains that before we can accept anything new into ourselves, we've got to empty ourselves first. And so it's a very good starting point for practice. And actually, it's not just the Buddhists that have concluded this. Thomas Metzinger, he's a neuroscientist and a bit of a philosopher on the side. And he's written an amazing book. It's called The Ego Tunnel. He's not a practicing Buddhist, but he goes through, it's quite a weighty book. Warwick, you might like this one. And he goes through looking at the nature of consciousness, and his conclusion is that there is no true concept of self. It's our minds and our nature of our minds that's fooling us into thinking we have a self. So he arrives at the same place by a different path. But it's not easy, this. We are so attached to the idea of a self. And letting go of this concept is very, very difficult. But I found in my practice of the six element practice, actually, it brings huge comfort. At the heart of the Buddhist teaching is an understanding of how we all suffer. And much of our suffering is caused by our own desires, our grasping, and our aversions. The Buddha gave us a word for this, dukkha, which it's not the deep suffering that unfortunately some of us do suffer with, chronic pain and things. It's the general unsatisfactoriness of life. Ah, lovely sunny day, but it's flipping chilly out there.
Damn. That's good, because of killing the birds.
So, actually, what's more understandable if we are honest with ourselves and sit down and meditate on our lives, we spend a lot of time in that unsatisfactory place where kind of moaning about things and we get brief periods when we're happy, when we're really enjoying the moment. Beautiful dinner party, guests around, everything's fantastic. And then you think about the washing up afterwards and you're back there again. Or maybe the simple fact that you know the party's going to come to an end and friends are going to go. So we tend to grasp for those happy moments and push away the unhappy ones. And the ultimate desire, of course, is to hang on to this concept of self. So from the perspective of no self, actually, the understanding that we come to is that we are simply the sum of all our parts. The water comes in, the air comes in, contributes, and for a very brief moment there's a fleeting glimpse of an Andy Sprague right there, at a particular stage in life, with a certain thought flowing through his mind that contributes in some way, shape or form to the next Andy Sprague that pops up. So we're being created all the time.
That's part of our environment as well, aren't we?
Yeah. No, that's it. And that's why, you know, you get this beautiful removal of the barrier between yourself and the world, not in some academic sense, but in a feeling sense. You really start to soften that boundary between you and the world around you. And you could say that from a very optimistic perspective, actually, Andy Sprague will never die, because Andy Sprague was never born in the first place. And you start to really feel that. You let go of this baggage of me and the desire to hold it all the time. It becomes a great weight off your shoulders. So, you know, as a Buddhist, I constantly strive, if I can, to discourage thoughts of self. They pop up, and when they pop up, I look at them and ask them if they're true. And you could say that's the inherent nature of the practice. Just by directing our attention out, we feel, we see, we smell, we taste, we touch, and we also experience the nature of mind and how it interrelates with the other senses. Practices like renunciation, fasting and things like this give us insight into these experiences. So for the meditation today, what we're going to do is explore the first five elements while we go through our body scan. Okay, so we're going to take ourselves into our bodies, and as we pass through the body, look at all five elements. Literally experience them. Earth, you're in touch with the ground, you can feel the hardness of the seat, you can feel your skin, you can feel the teeth sitting in the sockets. If you really pay attention and tune in, you can feel the bones in your fingers and you can feel your fingernails. Tune in, experience that stuff. We have our eyes closed, so even the nature of the earth element, the hardness, see if you can pick up permanence. If you really tune in, I think you'll find stuff's going on all the time. And you can ask yourself, that earth element inside of me, is it really that different to the stones that are sitting out there, the soil, the trees? Experience it. Water, we can feel the blood pumping through us. So experience all this stuff. Obviously we're breathing. Feel the air flowing through. So we're not going to go through the body scan quite as structured, because I don't want to disturb your own meditations. So I'll just offer you little reminders as you do it, just to explore your body from the six elements. Heat, energy, you know, find spots of warmth in the body and notice how it comes and goes. Take all your clothes off and run out there. You soon discover how much ownership you've got over heat. You know, we lose it pretty damn quick. And then we're going to come to the mind. So as we come to the mind, just sit with the experience of the mind, much like we did last week. Notice the mental objects that arise in it, thoughts, memories. Try and stop them. Try and find a front and a back to a thought. What's your experience, your genuine experience of what is a thought like as it passes through your mind? What's its nature? Has it got texture? And these thoughts that often feel so important to us, oh my God, my tax return. And that's a humdinger, isn't it? You know? Actually, when you approach the nature of that thought like this, it just evaporates. Okay, let's go on up. So just relaxing down. Gently close your eyes and just investigate your posture a little, get yourself nice and comfortable. And first of all, just experience the space around you, feel it. Our space, the space we occupy, is just as important to us as our bodies. Without our space, we couldn't exist. So feel the space around you. And awareness of friends sitting with you, supporting each other in our practice. And we'll start with our little Buddhist mantra. Do feel free to join in if you wish. Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya, Namo Nama, Am Hung. Thank you. settling down. So working through the body, whichever way you feel works for you, from the top of the head down or the soles of the feet up. Working through, exploring with total honesty, experiencing your body, and just contemplate as you feel and experience the elements you find: earth, air, fire, water, and space. Moving gently through, any thoughts that come, just let them go. Concentrating on your experience of the body. Fire, feel the crackle of energy, tiny little sparks firing up through the body all the time, like stars in the sky. earth element. Do you own your bones? Can you keep them? Don't try and answer that question with thought. Feel it. Space element. Try to come in touch with that boundary where you end and space begins. When you move, do you move into new space or do you take your space with you? Try and experience that. What is your space element like? water. Experience the water in you, binding you, the glue that holds you together. Feel it pumping through your veins. Saliva. Gentle perspiration. As we've moved through our bodies, looking at the five elements, we're perceiving them. Without mind, we wouldn't, we couldn't. So now we turn ourselves onto the perceiver. Look at the nature of mind. Experience mental objects, thoughts, memories. Notice their triggered emotions. Search for permanence. See what's there. What is your mind like? What is your experience of it? To us, perception is everything. Without our mind, we wouldn't have a body because we couldn't perceive it. Go into the perception. What is that like? What is perceiving? Who is feeling and seeing? See if there's anything permanent there. Notice how the mind disturbs the body, influences the other five elements. When the mind is agitated, the elements are stirred, the breathing quickens, heart rate comes up, the water element flows faster. When the mind is calm, the elements settle, sense of stillness. Just let your awareness come back into the room, feeling the space around you and friends sitting with you. And we can offer ourselves a silent intent to take this sense of exploration out into our day, to see how we connect with the world and the world connects with us, and how soft that boundary really is. Like ripples in a pond, we make a difference. Om Mani Padme Hum. And when you're ready, open your eyes and bring your meditation to an end.